वैरानुबन्ध एतावान् मृत्योरिह देहिनाम् आज्ञानप्रभवो मन्युः अहं मानोपब्रह्मितः. Translation by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Translation: Hiranyakashipu's anger against Lord Vishnu persisted until his death. Other people in the bodily concept of life maintain anger only because of false ego and the great influence of ignorance. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Generally speaking, even though the conditioned soul is angry, his anger is not perpetual but temporary. It is due to the influence of ignorance. Hiranyakashipu, however, maintained his enmity and his anger against Lord Vishnu until the point of death. He never forgot his vengeful attitude toward Vishnu for having killed his brother Hiranyaksha. Others in the bodily concept of life are angry at their enemies, but not at Lord Vishnu. Hiranyakashipu, however, was everlastingly angry. He was angry not only because of false prestige, but also because of continuous enmity toward Vishnu. So first of all, I would like to thank everyone, each one of you present here. This is my first class, in fact, so please bear with me. So many mistakes are going to happen, so kindly bear with me. So we have been hearing from different devotees till now about this wonderful episode of appearance of Lord Vamandev. We have heard how Mother Aditi, she was lamenting that her sons, the demigods, were driven out of the heavenly planets, and she was so much concerned about her sons. So she approached her husband, Kashyapa Muni, and Kashyapa Muni in turn advised her to take shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And then we have seen how Mother Aditi, she performed the prescribed payovrata, the ceremony which was for the pleasure and satisfaction of the Supreme Lord. And then we see how Supreme Lord appeared and he agreed to take as the son of Mother Aditi. And then we see how Lord Vamandev appears, and then so many demigods, they come, they offer different articles, the gift articles to Lord Vamandev. And now he is entering the fire sacrificial arena where Bali Maharaj and other demons, they are performing the great sacrifice of Ashwamedha. And then Bali Maharaj greets him nicely. Vamandev glorifies his wonderful etiquettes, and then further he goes on to glorify his great lineage. Then he glorifies Hiranyakashipu, who appeared in the dynasty of Bali Maharaj. And last few verses are about actually glorifying Hiranyakashipu's great valor. So translation again, once again, we'll just go through the translation. Hiranyakashipu's anger against Lord Vishnu persisted until his death. Other people in the bodily concept of life maintain anger only because of false ego and the great influence of ignorance. We can see in this purport, Srila Prabhupada is comparing Hiranyakashipu's anger with a common person's anger. And in this purport, Prabhupada is specially emphasizing the fact that the anger basically arises from envy, number one, unto the Supreme Lord, and the false ego. The egocentric attitude of the living entity, thinking oneself to be all in all. And specifically, Prabhupada is saying, Hiranyakashipu's anger continued till the last breath of his life. Whereas the living entities here, they also express anger. It is inherent in them. But then, it is not everlasting. So we see in Bhagavad Gita, it is mentioned, Ichchadvesha samuttena dvanda mohena bharata sarvabhutani sammoham sargeyanti parantapa. The original cause of the fall down of the living entity is said to be Ichcha, number one, the desire to enjoy independently away from the Supreme Lord, and number two, envy towards the Supreme Lord. Why he is the enjoyer? Why he is God? Why not me? And that is how the living entity falls down from the spiritual world unto this material world. And it is said, it is mainly these two unwanted things, anarthas, which give rise to several other anarthas, of which there are six main, namely lust, anger, greed, pride, illusion, and envy. So I thought we'll take up a theme. So today's subject matter of discussion will be anger, since the purport is talking about Hiranyakashipu's anger and the comparison between a common man's anger and Hiranyakashipu's anger. So we see there are so many, in today's day and age, scholars into the field of anger management. So they have defined anger in various ways. So a couple of definitions we'll just see. It says, anger is a sudden violent displeasure accompanied with the impulse to retaliate. Also, there's a famous saying which says, anger is one letter short of danger. And the third one, the matchstick has a head but no intelligence, and hence it flares up. So that reminds me of the real incident which took place, and one of the devotees he had narrated just a few months ago. So in Bombay, somewhere in South Bombay only it happened. There was a couple, and both of them, they were working. So early in the morning, because the husband had to go to the office, he was in hurry, and even the wife had to go to office. So husband was expecting that wife should serve him a cup of tea. So he expressed his desire, and wife said, I'm in a hurry, I have to go to office, I have to rush to office. And that is how the whole thing began. And there was a big quarrel. From such a small trivial issue, it went to such an extent that finally he just couldn't tolerate that wife is not listening to me. And he said, look at this child. If you're not going to listen to me, if you're not going to serve me a cup of tea, then I'm going to throw this child out of the window. And he actually went near to the balcony, and he was holding the child upside down. And still, the false ego is so powerful. Wife was also not ready to give in. So she said, do whatever you like. And lo and behold, what happens? Next moment, the child is thrown out. And next moment, he realizes what he did. And then he couldn't take it up. So he also jumps off out of the window. And wife is completely shocked. And she comes running, walking down the staircase to see that both of them are dead. And that was such a powerful shock to her life. She goes crazy. So this is the effect of the anger. The nature of anarthas, as we discussed, there are two main anarthas, envy and desire to enjoy independently away from the Lord. Desire to become the enjoyer is mentioned nicely in Niti Shastra. There is one beautiful verse which says, Nasti kama samo vyadir, nasti moha samo ripuhu, nasti kopa samo vannir, nasti jnanat param sukham. It says, Nasti kama samo vyadhir. No disease is more deadly than sex desire. Nasti moha samo ripuhu. Meaning, no enemy is more dangerous than illusion and infatuation. And similarly, no fire is hotter than the fire of wrath. Nasti kopa samo vannir. No happiness is better than transcendental knowledge. So, I remember just a few days ago, there was one Sunday festival class given by Isolina Chandramouli Swami Maharaj. So he mentioned how the six anarthas are to the maximum extent exhibited by great personalities. So any guesses? Like lust, for example, exhibited by? Yes, that's right. Anger? Hiranyakashipu. Greed? Greed by Hiranyaksha, and pride by Dantavakra, illusion by Kumbhakarna, and envy by Shishupal. So we see the anger here is exhibited by Hiranyakashipu, and today's purport is in line with the same theme. In Bhagavad Gita, in third chapter, the nature of the lust is described. It says, Kama esha krodesha rajoguna samudbhava mahashano mahapapma vidyenamiha vairinam. The adiras, original, pure form of, original form of love, which is pure in form, exists in the spiritual world. And when it comes down here, it is perverted and it takes the form of lust. And it is this lust only which is the greatest sinful, all-devouring sinful enemy of the entire world, when not fulfilled, takes form of anger. So sometimes anger is also called as Anuj, Kama Anuj. Anuj means younger brother. So elder brother is Mr. Lust and younger brother is anger. Prabhupada in this regard gives the example of milk when comes in contact with tamarind gets transformed into yogurt. Just like we have this famous verse in Brahma Samhita, Kshiram Yatadhi Vikara Vishesha Yoga Sanjayate Nahitata Pratagasti Hetu. Lord Shiva is said to be predominating over the mode of ignorance. Just like the mode of goodness is predominated over by Lord Vishnu and mode of passion is predominated over by Brahmaji. So it is same Vishnu who takes form of Lord Shiva by coming in contact with tinge of mode of ignorance. Also, Srila Prabhupada gives another example how when the cloud is pouring the water from the sky, it is in the pure form, but when it falls over the ground, it comes in contact with the mud. It gets mixed with the mud and it becomes contaminated. Similarly, the consciousness of the living entities, which is in the pure form in the spiritual realm, when it comes down to this material realm, it becomes contaminated. As is also explained wonderfully in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Kama Prema Do Ahankar Vibhinna Lakshan Loha Ara Hema Jeche Swarupe Vilakshan. Just like there is a difference between Loha and Hema, that is iron and gold. Similarly, lust and love, Kama and Prema, there is a difference. It is perverted. As also we see in Bhagavad Gita, there is this beautiful verse, Dhyayate Vishyan Punsa Sangaste Shupajayate Sangha Sanjayate Kama Krodo Vijayate Kamat Krodo Vijayate Krodat Bhavati Sammoha Sammoha Smriti Vibrahma Smriti Brahmashat Buddhi Nasho Buddhi Nashat Pranashyati. So how sequentially, step by step, there is a fall down of the living entity in terms of consciousness because of unfulfilled desire. So we see the origin of anger is explained in third canto, how Brahmaji, after the primary creation takes place, Brahmaji is into secondary creation and he goes on creating so many factors like Damba, means conceit, Himsa, violence, and there is Bhiti, fear, etc. So after creating these elements, he also creates anger. And as you all know, how Brahmaji, in the beginning, when he was as per the direction of the Supreme Lord, he wanted the population to grow. So he creates first four Kumaras, they come from him, and then he directs them to increase the population, to beget children. And because the four Kumaras were already self-realized, they knew how it is dangerous for their spiritual realization. So they immediately refuse Brahmaji's desire. And that gives rise to Brahmaji's anger. But since Brahmaji also knew that their anger, their refusal was in the right place, so Brahmaji could not exhibit the anger. And that anger got manifested through his forehead in the form of none other than Lord Shiva, Rudra. So that Rudra principle has been explained here in third chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Kama Esha Krodesha Rajoguna Samudbhava. So when Rajoguna, the lust which is arising from the Rajoguna is not fulfilled, then it gives rise to Tamoguna, the mode of ignorance, and that is anger. Now we'll see what are the different causes. What is it which gives rise to anger? The one analogy that comes to my mind, which I always like to quote, is that famous analogy that Srila Prabhupada gives when he discusses about how when there is a common center, then there is peace and harmony. And when there is more than one common center, then there are differences and there are quarrels. So he says, just like in a body of water, if you throw one stone, there will be a wonderful ripple coming. What if you keep throwing hundreds of stones, one after another, at the same place? Still, there will be hundreds of ripples coming, one after another, in harmony. But now you take two stones and throw them at two different places. Now what happens? There will be two ripples. This time they will be clashing with each other. So The conclusion is, when there is one common center, when Krishna is in the common center, then there is harmony and peace. Everybody cooperates. And when there is more than one common center, if God is not at the center, then self is put in the center. And then husband says, you listen to me, and wife says, you listen to me. And then back at the country level, society level, there are quarrels taking place. So that reminds me, there is one word in Sanskrit language called bhavana. Bha stands for bhakti, and van means forest. So if bha is removed from this word bhavana, what remains is van. So bha for bhakti or bhagwan is removed. If God is not at the center in the family, then the family becomes a forest, vana. And that is what is unfortunately happening throughout the world. Because Krishna, God, is not in the center, the self is at the center, there are so many differences and quarrels taking place. In Srimad Bhagavatam, this concept has been beautifully explained in the beautiful words, namely, Punsa Striya Mituni Bhava Metad Tayur Mitho Rudaya Granthi Ahu Ato Gruhakshetra Sutapta Vitter Janasya Mohoyam Aham Mameti. So Janasya Mohoyam Aham Mameti, this principle comes from the bodily concept of life. Janasya Mohoyam Aham, that means trying to identify oneself with the body, and then extended self-interest. So-called relatives, my country, my religion, my society, my community, so on and so forth. That reminds me of one small anecdote, rather the incident which took place here long time ago in this temple. Little funny. No offenses intended to anyone. I respect that person very much, and I appreciate his devotional attitude. But because it has its relevance in this connection, so I would like to mention it. So there was this, as you all know, in India there are so many jokes cut on Sardarji. So there was one Sardarji who used to come here regularly. This was many years ago. And we also had Gurukul here. So there was this Gurukuli boy who was very innocent, was talking to this Sardarji, and he just wanted to make fun of him. So he was just telling him, you know how a Sardarji laces up his shoes? So he was just showing through his motions. So he just lifts up his right leg, and as if the right leg is kept on the raised platform, and said, he's showing it to him, and he's lacing up the left shoe. And then he says, you know how Sardarji drinks the tea, hot cup of tea? So he, with the right hand, he's just showing through his action. And he's pouring the tea into his left hand saucer, and he drinks it with the right hand. So that flares the Sardarji up like anything. And Sardarji becomes so angry and says, you know how Sardarji, he hits, and he gives a big slap on his right cheek. And actually this happened, and this boy came crying to Radha Gopinath Prabhu, because he was in charge of the Gurukul that time. And everybody was laughing actually. So we see this bodily concept of life. In our casually also, in our day-to-day activities, it is exhibited like this. Identifying ourselves with so many isms, this ism and that ism. In Srimad Bhagavatam, in the third canto, it is explained how this false egocentric attitude of thinking oneself to be all in all is manifested through Rudra principle. And as we all know, Lord Shiva, he comes from Sankarshan, and Sankarshan is an expansion of Balramji. Lord Ananta Shesh, who is also an expansion of Balramji. So Lord Ananta, he exhibits his anger at the time of annihilation of the cosmic manifestation. Because the whole purpose of this material creation is to give an opportunity to the conditioned souls to practice Krishna consciousness, to surrender unto the Lord, and get rid of the clutches of Maya, get out of this material world. But when Ananta Dev, he sees that living entities, they are not so much interested in liberation, whereas they are very much interested in sense gratification, that arouses anger in him. And then so many Rudras, there are 11 Rudras, they come out, and whole world is inundated with fire. That is called Holocaust. So Bhagavad Gita says, Ahankara Vimuda Atma Kartaham Iti Manyate. So out of foolishness only we are thinking that we are the doer. So this Ahankara principle is exhibited through this Rudra principle, which is again the manifestation of mode of passion. Now, there are different facets of anger that we'll be discussing. So next facet that we'd like to discuss will be degree of anger. There are different degrees of anger exhibited by the different people. Because it is talking about how Hiranyakashipu, his anger lasted till the last breath of his life. Whereas other people, like common person's anger, don't last. So there are different degrees of anger. As is explained in Bhagavad Gita, there are different degrees of lust. Dhumena vriyate vanni yatha darsho malenecha yathol vena gruto garbham tatati nedam avratam. So there are three broad categories which are discussed by Krishna in Bhagavad Gita. He says, just like the mirror is covered by dust, or dhumena vriyate, the fire is covered by smoke, or the fetus is covered by womb, there are different degrees of lust. And we have already seen, as we have discussed, anger arises out of lust. So if there are different degrees of the lust, it is implied that there has to be different degrees of anger as well. As there is a famous saying, we boil at different degrees. So one of the aspects of these different degrees, you must have studied, there are different terms for anger. Like, there is something called exasperation. So I was just thinking about one small anecdote. There is a difference between anger and exasperation. So there was once a small girl who was studying. She was preparing for the exam and she was studying English subject. So she asked her father, my dear father, can you please explain me what is the difference between anger and exasperation? So father said, okay, I'll explain it to you. And then what he does is he makes a phone call on random basis, dials a number on random basis. And from the other side, the receiver is picked up and says, hello. And says, is Melvin there? And the answer comes, Melvin? There is no such person here by name Melvin. And then he slams the receiver down. So he says, look, once again, I'm going to call up this number. And again, he dials up. And again, he asks, is Melvin there? And this time, the voice goes up, little degree up. He says, I told you there is no such person living by this name, Melvin. And then he says, why don't you check out the number before you dial up? And then again he slams it really hard. And then he says, this is called anger. Now you see what is exasperation. Then once again he dials up the same number. And this time he says, this is Melvin. Have there been any calls for me? And then he really explodes. And that is called exasperation. As is mentioned in this purport, Hiranyakashipu's anger lasted till last breath. But it is interesting to note, it continued actually in his next life also as Ravana. So, in Ramayana, it is explained how once when the army, monkey army and Lord Ram, they were on the shores of the ocean, they were about to attack Lanka. So Ravana, he was really very much in anxiety. So he was seeking help from different powerful demons. Then he thought of his great-great-great-grandfather Bali Maharaj, whom he knew to be very, very powerful. So he thought of going there. And he knew that Bali Maharaj is residing in Sutal planet in the lower planetary system. So he goes there. Lo, behold, at the gate, he faces none other than Vamandev. So seeing that powerful personality, though short, he asks him, can you please let me in? And he says, who are you? He said, I am the great Ravana, the king of all three worlds. And Vamandev replies, still, I cannot permit you, I cannot let you in. Then Ravana thinks, because he had so many mystic powers, so let me play with this guy. So he takes a very minute form and he tries to sneak in through the gate. But Bali Maharaj, I mean, Lord Vamandev, because he is omnipotent and is all-pervading, what he does is he places his foot over his head. And Ravana could not budge a single inch from that place. And finally, he surrendered to Lord Vamandeva. So it is explained by the Acharyas in that connection. Because at that point, Lord Vamandev mercifully gave the dust from his lotus feet to Lord to Ravana. Ravana was actually qualified to be killed by Lord Ram later. So then he goes inside and meets Bali Maharaj and expresses desire to Bali Maharaj to have coalition with him. And Bali Maharaj says, before we coalesce, I would like to give you a small gift as a token of love. And then he points out to a heap of, it was kind of a mountain of gold studded with diamonds. So Ravana is amazed to see that huge mountain of gold studded with diamonds. And he says, what is this? He says, this is gold with diamond. And then Ravana couldn't believe it. So Bali Maharaj says, you just walk a couple of steps behind and guess what it is. So he comes few steps behind and looks at the mountain and says, this looks like shape of the earring. And said, yes, it is an earring which you used to wear in your previous life as Hiranyakashipu. That time you were so powerful. You are so powerful that you used to wear that earring on both the sides. And you used to walk. Now if you can lift it is yours. So he gives a try. And he cannot even budge a single inch from its place. So Bali Maharaj wants to make a point here that although you had so many powers in your previous lifetime, you could not do anything. You could not do anything to Lord Vishnu. Same Lord Vishnu has appeared as Lord Ram in this life. And you are very less powerful compared to Hiranyakashipu. What can you do to him? So still, his anger persisted till his last breath of even as Ravana. So there are different personalities who have exhibited different degrees of anger. We see there are gyanis and yogis like Vishwamitra Muni and Durvasa Muni who also exhibited their anger. And what was the result? Vishwamitra, though he was born as Kshatriya, he wanted to raise himself to the platform of Brahmana. And he was trying his best. He performed severe austerities. Indra, he becomes quite envious of him. And just to disturb his penances, he sends the heavenly damsel, Menaka. And then he falls down from his position after getting into the affair with Menaka. And this time he's very cautious. He's aware that any such disturbances is going to destroy my penances. So next time Indra sends one of the heavenly damsels known as Ramba. And Ramba was very beautiful. And she tried her best to allure Vishwamitra. And Vishwamitra Muni, when he comes to know about this, immediately he exhibits the anger. And again his penances are destroyed. Also we see in case of Durvasa Muni, he was also a powerful great yogi. Little bit of disturbance in his sense gratification, immediately he was outraged. Unto none other than Amrish Maharaj, who was a great devotee of the Lord. And the result was so dangerous. In the 11th canto, one of the Navayogendras, Drumila, he is advising to King Nimi. In this context, he says, big gyanis and ascetics who are trying their best to elevate themselves to the highest realm, they can't do so because the great impediment is their own sense gratificatory desire. As I said in the 10th canto, Ye anya arvindaksha vimuktamaninas aruya krichena parampadam tat patanti adho. The most lamentable fall down of the impersonalist is due to the false and unreasonable claim of their being one with the Supreme Lord, their desire to become the Supreme Lord himself. Another degree of anger which is exhibited is the anger exhibited by the demigods. We see demigods, the great demigods like Indra, they exhibit the anger even against the pure devotees of the Lord, like the residents of Vrindavan. When the worship unto these demigods is disturbed, their false ego is hit and immediately the anger is exhibited. Not only once, second time also, none other than Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna along with his consort Satyabhama, when he went to heavenly planet, that time also Indra again, he exhibited this similar kind of anger and actually he battled against Krishna. Then there is another type of anger exhibited by the liberated souls like four Kumaras. They were Brahmavadis actually. Brahmavadi, difference between the Mayavadi and Brahmavadi is that Mayavadis, they don't accept the form of the Lord. They think everything is impersonal. This absolute truth is formless. Whereas Brahmavadis, they know very well that there is some person supreme, but then they don't surrender unto him. So they had full faith, but they were not devotees of the Lord. So as we all know, they once wanted to have an audience with the Lord, so they happened to go to the Vaikuntha realm, and on the gate they were stopped by Jai Vijay, the gatekeepers of the Lord, and that infuriated these four Kumaras, and their anger exhibited, and the result was Jai and Vijay, they had to fall down from the spiritual world and they had to take birth as the demons. In that particular purport, in this context, Srila Prabhupada says, sannyasis, actually they are free to travel anywhere. They should not be stopped. So the anger exhibited by four Kumaras was perfectly viable and perfectly valid. So sannyasis and renunciates, like four Kumaras were, actually they should not have been stopped. And that is why that gave rise to the anger, and that anger is perfectly valid. As we see in today's day and age, it is exactly opposite. We can see there are boats put up outside the gate, beware of the dogs and all. That means sannyasis and all, they are prohibited to enter their realm. Then as against these degrees of anger, we also see another type of anger exhibited by devotees and the Supreme Personality of Godhead himself. So devotees, when they express their anger, when they exhibit their anger, the result is exactly opposite. It is not dangerous to the object on whom the anger is exhibited. Rather, it is beneficial to that person. We see in case of Narad Muni cursing Nalkubera and Manigriv, how that curse actually got transformed into blessing to Nalkubera and Manigriv. Also, pure devotees like Dhruva Maharaj, when his brother was killed by Yakshas, Dhruva, he actually challenged and fought with the Yakshas. Then also there is one incident where Ashtavakra Muni, the devotee of the Lord, he happened to curse some heavenly damsels. There is a place called Gopi Talav in Dwarka. The chandan that we put, most of it is coming from Gopi Talav. So I just came across this story. It is mentioned in Brahma Vaivarta Puran, that how once there were 16,100 heavenly damsels were bathing in the river. And as they were bathing, Ashtavakra Muni also happened to go there, and he was offering the oblations unto different demigods. Because his body was deformed at 8 different places, in the his structure was completely deformed, seeing his deformed body, the heavenly damsels, they started laughing and making fun of him. And that infuriated Ashtavakra Muni, and he cursed them that because you are proud of your filthy beauty, I curse you that in your next lifetime, the very cause of your pride, the beauty, will become the very cause of your destruction. So just to fulfill that curse, then Krishna, because whenever Krishna does anything, in one shot, he has many things done. So as we all know, when Krishna departed back to the spiritual world, he instructed Arjuna that you please bring all of my queens in your custody back to Hastinapur. And Arjuna, in trying to fulfill Krishna's order, he was bringing his wives, they had to pass through a forest. And in the forest, they were attacked by some forest dwellers, the Bhillas. And few of them, they were actually molested. And many of them, just to save their life and chastity, they jumped into that body of water, the lake, which is known as at present Gopi Talav. So in Brahmavarta Puran, it is explained in great details, but I'll just cut it short. Why it happened? Now the question may come, why such things can happen to the Supreme Personality of Godhead's relatives? You know. So it is explained that because the devotee of the Lord, whenever he says something, the God has God has to fulfill the words spoken by devotee. Krishna had to arrange in such a way that whatever Ashtavakra Muni said had to come true. So what he does is, from his left thumb of his hand, he just brushes it, and from the dust, or from the dirt. From the dirt, actually Krishna expanded himself into many billas, the forest dwellers. And it was actually Krishna who, in the form of billas, the forest dwellers, molested them. So in one sense, their chastity was not violated. Then we can see the Supreme Personality of Godhead himself exhibits the anger. But the difference between God's anger and anger exhibited by other living entities is that, since God is all perfect, anything that Lord does also has to be perfect. So anger shown by the Lord is also perfect. As there is a famous quote by Aristotle, he says, anyone can become angry, that is easy. But to be angry with the right person to the right degree at the right time, for the right purpose, and in the right way, that is not easy. But that is possible only in case of Supreme Personality of Godhead. Also, we can see how Supreme Lord, in the form of Lord Narsingadev, he exhibits the crescendo or the pinnacle of the anger. Because in this verse, it says, the anger shown by Hiranyakashipu was maximum, to maximum extent. But then, Supreme Personality of Godhead is also known as Asamurdhva. Means no one is equal to him, no one how can be equal or above him. So when Lord decides to exhibit his anger, no one can beat him. Just like when Lord wants to do something, let us say stealing for example. He is glorified for stealing as butter thief, Makanchur. Or when he comes as Lord Ram, he takes the help from monkeys who are considered to be abominable species. But still he is glorified for that act. Now let us say, for example, in today's time, a person is walking with a monkey in the hand and wearing a coat, suit and tie. Will he be glorified? He won't be glorified. But whenever Lord does such activities, he is glorified. So his anger is said to be perfect. And that anger, like shown in case of Putana, he killed Putana and Putana was given the position of his mother in the spiritual world. He killed Hiranyakashipu, Hiranyakashipu was delivered. In the form of Lord Anantadev, he kills all the living entities and they are sent back to the body of Mahavishnu. When he comes as Lord Ram, he exhibits the anger, seeing that demigod who is supposed to be servant is not paving the way for him to go to Lanka. He just raises his eyebrows and immediately the predominating deity of the ocean comes out and he surrenders unto him. So sometimes it appears that why pure devotees and God has to show the anger. Is it right? Is it valid? So in this connection, Srila Prabhupada writes in the purport to the text 1, Nectar of Instruction, says anger cannot be completely wiped out. Anger can be controlled. We cannot stop becoming angry. Because anger is the quality coming, rather inherited from the Father, the Supreme Father Krishna. Anger exists in the Supreme Personality of Godhead, so living entities also have to have anger in them. Like, then he goes on to explain Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, how although he gave the beautiful 8 verses Shikshashtakam, in which he says Trinadapi Shunichena Taroropi Sahishnuna, the most aspired quality is humility. But then same Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is asking us to be humble, he is also seen to be getting angry with Jagai Madai when he sees that how his devotee is insulted or offended. Then we can also see Hanumanji, he burns up entire Lanka in anger. Why? Because everything can be engaged in the service of the Lord. Everything rather has to be engaged in the service of the Lord. And so, the anger also can be. And Hanumanji exemplifies how anger can be utilized in Krishna's service. Similarly, Arjuna also exemplified. When it came down to his personal personal interest, he didn't want to fight against Kurus. But when Krishna told him, Krishna ordered him to do so, he immediately agreed. We also see how Sati, she exhibited her anger, and it was quite applaudable. Her husband, Lord Shiva, who is a pure devotee of the Lord, when he was offended by her father, Prajapati Daksha, immediately she gave up her body and exhibited her anger. In Hawaii, once one person, he asked Srila Prabhupada, so, because Srila Prabhupada, just before that, he had mentioned how anger can be utilized in Krishna service, and whenever anyone claims that I am God, immediately we should call him that person as rascal. Srila Prabhupada writes, he says, so this devotee asked Prabhupada, sometimes Prabhupada, we meet some persons like newcomers and all, and they say I am God, and that really agitates our mind. So, do you mean to say that immediately we should become angry and we should call him a rascal? So, Srila Prabhupada said, no, we should apply our intelligence. Ours is preaching movement and we are preachers. It is quite evident and quite obvious that one is going to become angry whenever we hear such statements. But if we show our anger to that person, that person will go farther away from Krishna instead of getting him closer to Krishna. So, as a preacher, we are not supposed to exhibit that kind of anger. Then there is another kind of anger which is shown by devotee unto a devotee, and that is quite dangerous. As is explained in the scriptures, to vilify a sadhu is a big offense and can be detrimental to our spiritual life, especially for the sadhakas like us, like His Holiness Radhana Swami Maharaj. He mentions, he says, whoever you are in whatever position you may be, offense to the devotee causes a fall down of that person. And we can also see the example of devotee offending or devotee exhibiting his anger unto another pure devotee, like Prajapati Daksha, who is a devotee of the Lord, who actually had an audience of the Lord, and Lord had ordered him to increase the population throughout the world. So he was actually engaged in the service of the Lord. But what happens? In the assembly of the great people, Lord Shiva was invited, and seeing Lord Shiva, who happened to be son-in-law, whom he did not like at all, he immediately offended. And because of that offense, he actually fell down from his position. Then we also see there is another kind of anger which is exhibited by the Lord himself unto his devotees. So there is this most celebrated pastime of Damodar Leela, where Mother Yashoda, she was breastfeeding Krishna, and suddenly there was this milk boiled over, and immediately she put aside baby Krishna and she ran away to save the milk. And that infuriated Krishna like anything. So Krishna wants to show through this pastime that devotee has to give first priority to the Lord than to anything else. So we can take a lesson from this incident that, for example, our day should begin with chanting or any other such devotional activity. We have to show to Krishna that, Krishna, you are my first priority in my life. Then there is another kind of anger which is exhibited by a devotee on himself. Like we have this example of Bilwa Mangal Thakur. Bilwa Mangal Thakur, who was highest degree, who showed highest degree of sense gratification, he used to go to prostitute. And then the prostitute became the instrumental for Bilwa Mangal Thakur to take up to the devotional service. After becoming serious on this path also, he was facing so many impediments. So once he just happened to visit one house for some alms, and seeing the beauty of the person who was serving the alms to him, he becomes infatuated. And then later on, as you all know, he thinks that these eyes are the cause of my fall down. And then he plucks out of anger, he just plucks out his eyes. And then finally we know he becomes a pure devotee. So after seeing these different facets of anger, we can actually contemplate on the effects of anger. There is a Chinese proverb, very famous proverb. It says, if you are patient in one moment of anger, you will escape 100 days of sorrow. And there are various other quotes also. I won't go through because we have very less time left now. So there is one famous quote by Lord Buddha himself. He says, holding on to anger is like grasping a hot coal with the intent of throwing it at someone else. You are the one who gets burned. In this regard, as we are discussing about the effects of anger, one story that comes to my mind, which is mentioned in the Islamic scriptures, the theme of the story is the wound remains. So once there was a boy who was hot-tempered, and he could not control his anger all the time. On and off, he used to become angry. So he revealed his problem, and he expressed his sincere desire to his father also that, I want to get rid of this problem. So father said, okay, I'll tell you one thing, just do and try it out. So he said, we have a garden, and garden is fenced. You see that fence? Every time you become angry, you go out to the fence and hammer one nail onto the fence. So he started doing it. And because it was such a cumbersome process to hammer it, it required tremendous energy. So he actually became conscious about it, avoiding the anger. And the few days passed away, he came back to his father and said, father, nowadays I don't become so angry. Oh, very well. Now you do another thing. What? Every time you don't become angry in a day, you never become angry in a day, then on that particular day you should go to the fence and start plucking out the nail. One nail a day. So he starts doing that. After a few days passed, then he again comes back to his father and said, father, all the nails are removed. That means I have never become angry for last many days. So father appreciates that very much and says, now please come along. So he takes him to the fence and shows the holes which are left there behind. So the moral is, hammering the nails is like, out of anger, sometimes we utter bad words or harsh words, and we hurt the people. We hurt the feelings of the people. And that eternally, permanently leaves the scars or the wounds behind. That is why the effect of the anger is quite dangerous, and we should be really alert. In Bhagavad Gita also, as we discussed, Dhyayate Vishayan Punsa, how when lust is not fulfilled, there is anger, and when because of anger, there is delusion. From delusion arises the loss of memory, and when the memory is lost, intelligence is lost, the person falls down. So we should be very careful. There is one more story which comes to my mind, is mentioned in Panchatantra, the story of a crow and swan. Once there was a crow and swan living together on the same branch of the tree, and one person happened to come to that tree, and because there was a scorching heat outside, he was just taking rest underneath. Crow, by nature, they are very envious, and swans, they are by nature very helpful. So swan saw at one point of time there is a streak of light straight coming onto the face of this person resting down. So he wanted to help him. So what he does is, the hole through which the streak of light was passing through, he just spreads his wings so that the streak of light doesn't pass through. And seeing that, crow immediately becomes envy. And crow, what he does, he comes and passes. He drops directly onto the face of this person. And that immediately wakes him up. And as soon as he wakes up, he just looks straight and sees the swan in place of crow. And he thinks, because he was a king, he was a kshatriya, he was carrying the bow and arrow. Immediately he thinks, because he is the cause of my trouble. So immediately he shoots an arrow, and swan is dead. So that is the effect of the anger. There is also the story of Gaja Kachapa. There were two brothers, and the younger brother, he demanded from his elder brother that now is the time that we have to split the property. And this was in ancient era, so it was unheard of. So elder brother, he becomes furious and says, that is not possible. Let us cooperate. Whatever we have, whatever father has passed on to us, it is all yours. Don't demand your share. I will never ever demand my share. But still, younger brother, he persisted. I said, I still want it. So elder brother said, you don't have proper etiquettes also, how to talk to the elderly persons like me. And then immediately curses his younger brother that you go and become an elephant, dull-headed elephant. And that infuriates younger brother and says, I curse you back that you go and become a turtle. That is how they become elephant and turtle. And in their next lives also, they continue to fight. And they were so powerful. This was on heavenly planets. They were so powerful that they kept fighting with each other. And that was disturbing the other residents of the forest. So once, this is mentioned in the scripture, once there was Garudadev who happened to come to visit the hermitage of his father Kashyapa Muni, who was residing in the same forest. So there is a big episode, just to curtail it short. His mother Viniti, she was trapped in some particular episode, and mother Kadru had kept a condition that she will have to become the slave for rest of her life. The only solution out of the situation was to get the nectar. And Garudadev, he was determined to get the nectar. So as he was off to the journey, before that, he comes and approaches his father and says, I am feeling hungry before starting my journey. Can I have something? And says, go and eat that elephant and turtle, because they are creating a lot of trouble into the forest. So since then, this particular term, Gajakachapa, whenever there is quarrel taking place in the house, this Gajakachapa quarrel has become famous. There are so many things to be discussed. Actually, time is up. There is one important aspect left, actually. Solution to the problem. We have discussed about the problem, but the solution itself is not discussed yet. So I'll just brief it within 2 minutes. There are few tips to control anger. Oh, before that, Jayadvait Maharaj, he says, how to control anger? In one of the seminars on discussing nectar of instruction, he says, utilize anger in Krishna's service. And then he recalls what Prabhupada gives the solution. Prabhupada says, remember Lord Narasimhadev whenever you become angry. And as soon as we remember Lord Narasimhadev, then our heart will be purified. Then another solution is that never blame others for the cause of our own anger. And there are a few tips which have been given in the seminar that we give usually. Like, it can be broadly classified into physical, mental, intellectual and spiritual. So physical, there is something called analyze, abstain and avoid. Analyze means physical tips, like drink cold water, breathe deeply. Then abstain from stimulating foods such as intoxicants, meat eating. Of course, devotees, they are not engaged into this, but at least we can avoid spicy food. Then avoid rajaguna or passionate activities such as illicit sex, etc., even the thoughts. Mental solution is befriend, balance and banish. Befriend, cultivate a sense of humor, balance the energy flow, talk less, relax and take sufficient rest. Banish negative thoughts and develop positive attitude. Intellectual, there is something called consider, contemplate, convert. Consider is harmful. Whenever we get angry, we should consider about the harmful effects on body, family and society. And always we should contemplate on harmony and happiness, how that is advised. And convert the spirit of revenge into the spirit of forgiveness. As His Holiness Radhana Swami Maharaj says, the greatness of a man is estimated in one's ability in tolerating the provoking situation. So that is the best solution. We have to tolerate. So spiritual solution, discuss spiritual topics among the devotees, in the association of devotees, hear Krishna Katha. Discriminate between reality and illusion and discover humility, tolerance and forgiveness. And of course, most importantly, praying to the Lord and devotees. Chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. It was an opportunity for me to discuss about this Anada because it is overflowing in my heart. So I take this an opportunity to request unto all devotees, please pray for me so that I can come out of this Anada. Hare Krishna. Rantara Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki. Gaur Premanandi.